You're listening to Femme Wonk. I'm your host, Katie Davey, and I'm on a mission to raise the policy conversation around gender and inclusion. Today, we actually chat with Future Majority about getting youth involved in this upcoming election. It's an incredibly important conversation. Youth ages 18 to 35 actually make up the largest voting block in this upcoming election. So meaningfully engaging young people can actually have a dramatic impact on the outcome of the election. We talk about how Future Majority came to be. We talk about what exactly the mechanisms to which they're engaging young people on campuses are. And of course, we talk about the important role that their campus organizers have. We obviously also talk about how important it is for everybody to get out and vote. And I'll just remind you, if you visit electionscanada.ca, you'll be able to find out all the information on how you can vote. You can vote every single day leading up to the election, as well as election day. And when this episode comes out, there will be still, I think, 2 days of campus voting for folks that are on campuses. So do exercise your right to vote. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited about this conversation, and I'll actually just first ask you to introduce both yourself and Future Majority.
Thanks for having me, Katie. And to introduce myself, I'm Shreya. I've been working with Future Majority as an organizer, trying to empower young people into politics and just get a huge youth voter turnout this year. Future Majority is a not-for-profit, nonpartisan organization. We are pretty new. We started in 2018 with the goal of getting a large youth voter turnout this year as we form the largest voting bloc.
Amazing. Yeah. So as you just mentioned, Future Majority is a brand new-ish organization. So why kind of did the organization come to be, and what's so important about it right now?
I guess the organization came to be, number one, because we are forming the largest voting bloc, people between 18 to 35 years old. We feel that the current political system is not working for young people. I think politicians are failing to realize that the demographic of the youth today is so different and so varied across the country, but they are not meeting us where we're at. They're not engaging us in the places we're at, and they're failing to realize that different people are on different levels of civic engagement. So I think just to meet those gaps, Future Majority came about, and also to help young people realize that there are ways and means to get involved in your democracy and to realize your power. And we hoped that through the intimate interactions that we've had, the core strategic model of Future Majority is meeting people where they're at, and we're hoping that this will bridge the gap between young people and politics and politicians.
So talk to me a little bit about how you're achieving that goal. What does meeting people where they're at look like? And particularly, what does that look like when we talk about voting?
That's such a loaded question. I will do my best to answer that. So essentially, meeting people where they're at, how we did this, or how we are doing this rather, is by placing ourselves on different campuses across the country. Like I said, I'm an organizer with Future Majority, and there are 20 full-time people doing my job, and then we also have part-time staff. But then more importantly, we have built a squad of volunteers who are doing this work of organizing. We spread ourselves across different campuses across the country, including I'm at Western University right now. There are people at University of Toronto, Mississauga, Scarborough, Lakehead, Brock, Fleming, just to name a few. And we literally started out day one approaching people face to face, having conversations, telling them that there's a federal election happening, telling them that we are forming the largest voting bloc, and this is the year to have our voices heard, and this is the year where we have so much power, and let's not let it go to waste. Our strategy sort of goes between having intimate conversations with people one-on-one or one-on-five to going to classrooms and having talks there. And that's literally meeting people where they're at. Students are so busy studying, and now they're also so busy with part-time jobs because that's the world and society we live in, where the cost of living is so high that that you need to be working many jobs while you're studying. And so we went to them to make the process as accessible and easy as we can.
How do youth respond when you do tell them that young people ages 18 to 35 make up the largest voting block this time? Is that something that you find young people are even aware of?
I would say some people are aware of it and some are not. I mean, the media and politicians, like, they're not focusing on youth issues. So we had to take that stand and speak up for ourselves. So perhaps that information wasn't available and accessible to all on a large media scale. And if people don't know that we were the largest voting bloc, I would say that's because the media doesn't give us enough attention and politicians sure don't. But when we tell people that we're the largest voting bloc, I have literally seen eyes light up. I have seen refreshed looks on people's faces when they hear that, because we so often feel that our voices are getting lost in the herd, in the mix. And, you know, how does my one vote count? But when you tell people that you're forming 37% of the electorate, and this year, if all of us come together, we can, like, we're behind a megaphone. And that's been very empowering for people, I found.
Yeah, I bet that, again, like you said, it can be a megaphone for youth because, unfortunately, you know, that voting block also tends to have a lower turnout than some other generational voting blocks. And so when folks kind of, instead of, as you said, looking at it from the perspective of I am one vote, looking at it more of a perspective from, like, we as a collective can be the largest voice, I feel like that would really empower people to, instead of being like, well, I might not go out this time, to say, like, yes, I am part of this voting bloc, and our voice collectively matters, and so we're going to turn out.
Another thing of how this year is also more accessible than any other, in the last federal election, there were only 39 on-campus polling stations. This year, there are 121 on-campus polling stations. So this year, it's actually very accessible to vote, and we're literally trying to make use of all the power that we have.
Talk to me a bit more about the on-campus voting. I'm pretty sure, so this episode will be released on Tuesday, which I think would be the last day of the on-campus voting, but yeah.
Wednesday is the last.
Oh, Wednesday. Okay, amazing. So people that listen on Tuesday and Wednesday will get to head to the polls. So tell me a little bit about what that looks like for folks listening that are on campus.
What this does is that it brings the polling booth to you. Students are so busy, and they also get the option of voting between either their home writing or their school writing. And it's just a way to, again, make it more accessible, shorten the queue times, and just make the process as easy, accessible, and seamless as possible.
Yeah, that's so amazing. So, oh, yeah, so for folks listening, if you haven't voted yet, this is your big call to action. Get out.
Get out and vote.
So you talked about, you used the word organizer quite often, and I'd love if you would explain a little bit about what, again, like what that means from the campus perspective and how that relates to voting.
What, Katie, what a loaded question.
I'm full of loaded questions today.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to try my best. Organizing is such a valuable yet undervalued role in politics and in society. What that essentially looks like is literally bringing people together and handing them power sticks, reminding them that power lies in our hands. And the way I see it is that politicians need to be out there talking to us, coming to us, asking us what our issues are. But that's just not happening. We've grown further and further away from our local politicians, from our government. Also, the world that we live in, I feel communities are more disintegrated because we're spending so much time working. People now more than ever are doing more part-time jobs. People are living paycheck to paycheck because of the rising cost of living. All these reasons have resulted in a slightly disintegrated society, is what I think. What an organizer does is it goes that we go to people and we talk to them, we hear their issues, and we tell them that in a democracy, the power lies with us if we come together. So we're building communities ground up again. And then while building communities, we're also building leaders from the very squad that we're building, so that power is constantly spread across the base and it's constantly democratized. So no matter what issue arises in your community, you can reach out to folks and get them together and get a collective voice going to reach the government. And that's essentially the role of politicians, the role of an organizer is essentially bringing people together, forming that community, and having our voices heard collectively. Numbers is power, and an organizer essentially reminds people that.
And why is that role so important to you personally?
Why is this role so important to me? There are so many layers to this question. For me personally, I work as a journalist as well. So my entire life, professional life, has been dedicated to creating social change. I sincerely believe that numbers is power. And if we all want to progress as a society, then we have to walk together. I believe that there's value in community. There's value in building relationships where you live. Yeah, as an organizer, we bridge the gaps in communities, bring them together, remind them that we have collective power if we form a collective voice. And that essentially, I think, helps in solving issues. Essentially, the way I see it, we look at national problems, we look at global problems, but if they are not solved at a grassroots local level, if we don't find solutions at the local level, then we will never find big solutions to big problems if we are struggling with smaller issues and problems.
I love the way you put that. And it reminds me, just this past week, I was at an event and somebody said the quote, how did they put it? They said something along the lines of, although we're so connected these days, nobody is truly a global citizen. Every single person belongs to a place and belongs to a community at that very local level. And I think that that's so important, right? Like that sense of community can have so many layers, but there is that layer of your place and space where you physically are. And yeah, I think there's something so beautiful about empowering that lens I think in at the same time, perhaps, as that global landscape, like really ensuring that there's that ability for community at a basic place level.
Definitely, I agree. And I've seen community grow and blossom literally right in front of my eyes while being on this job. All of us as organizers, we started off as lone individuals entering a campus, trying to form a squad, trying to build a movement. Right in front of my eyes, I can tell you from my own experience, people have come together in a room and realized that we all have the same motive of making society progress and go further, making Canadian democracy more wholesome, more lively. These are people they wouldn't have met otherwise had it not been for one organizer coming from one organization building that movement. And we're doing that all across Canada. And now when we leave these campuses for the time being, they will still have that community. They will have formed new friends outside of their courses, outside of their neighborhoods. And in case there's any other issue that arises, on their campus, in their lives, then they have the tools and skills on how to bring people together.
So last election in 2015, there was a historic youth turnout. That being said, again, that number was still lower than other demographics. And I think the numbers suggest that Justin Trudeau benefited most from this large turnout. Do you see parties kind of not addressing per se, but do you see in this election parties kind of trying to vie for that youth vote, or do you still see a bit of a apathy actually from the party perspective on, again, really engaging young people in a meaningful way?
I'll just say this. Where are the politicians? Where have they come to us? Have they visited students, young people on the campuses that they are at? That in itself is testament that they are so, so disengaged by the largest voting bloc. It's mind-boggling to me. Politicians have not come to us. They are still not focusing on us. They really need to realize now that the demographics of this country are changing, that the voter base that they have relied on to come to power is fading. We are forming the majority this year. We go on to form the majority for the next 4, 8, 16, 32 years. If they don't start coming to us, focusing on our issues, then they cannot come to power. The fact that thousands of people across Canada turn up for climate strikes is in itself a testament that we are not letting them walk away without solutions any longer. But they are not coming to us, Katie. They have not visited us on campuses. They are not talking to us still.
It's very much an action speak louder than words kind of scenario, I think.
Definitely. The way politics works, in my eyes, is that these guys are very much career politicians. Young people are mobilizing. And like, if there's one aspect in our lives across all sections of society where we can see that, is the climate crisis. They need to start becoming a bit more genuine, give us policy solutions on issues that are affecting us across the board. And the more people are waking up to the hard end of the bargain that we've gotten, the more we're going to come together and the more we're going to mobilize. And if we don't see authenticity and genuineness in our politicians, then we're just not going to vote for them and they're not going to come to power.
I love that. I think that's such a great way to cap off this conversation. I hope to see so many young people out this election, and I hope so too. Yeah, and I'm so happy. Well, yeah, I'm so glad. I feel very empowered by the work that you folks are doing, and it's been really a pleasure to see Future Majority grow so quickly and be so really so powerful on many campuses in such a short time. I think that in itself as well is such a testament to how youth want to be engaged.
Definitely. We have the power, and I am sure that we're going to have an amazing turnout.
Any last words you want to say to the young people listening to the episode?
Go vote. Go vote. We are the largest voting bloc. We have so much power. Elections have never been so much fun. They have never been so critical, and they have never been so accessible. So go out and vote.
Love it. Go vote, everybody.
Go vote. Awesome.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FemWonk. If you loved this episode, please do leave us a review. And finally, you can always connect with me directly, Katie@FemWonk.com. Thanks.